It's that time in Spain where we listen to somebody from Blevins Franks, and today we're going to be discussing stock markets, the economy and investing, with the senior partner Chris McCann. Due to technical issues, Bill is unable to join us this week. So Chris, the first quarter of 2020 saw equity markets badly shocked by the rapid spread of the coronavirus. How was performance over the first quarter of 2021 compare?
Hi Howard. Well, when comparing quarter one 2020 with quarter one 2021, we see two very different pictures. During the first quarter of last year, the MSCI World Equity Index reacted to the onset of the pandemic and fell by around 23%, whereas over the first quarter of this year, it rose by around 5%. However, I think it's more illuminating to dig a little deeper into the numbers and look at the performance of the equity market index from its low point on 20th of March 2020 compared to its current level. Over this period, many listeners will likely be surprised to hear that the equity index has increased by around 80%, that is 80%, which is quite staggering given that over the same period, we've experienced a global pandemic. It's simply the case that yet again, during a period of intense pessimism, triggered by a negative shock to the system, equity markets have slowly climbed the wall of worry and generated excellent returns. The two key drivers of the equity rally were the Democrats' Senate victory in Georgia, paving the way for massive further fiscal stimulus of $1.8 trillion, and the success of the vaccine rollout in the US and UK. Although even markets where vaccine rollouts have significantly lagged the US and UK have performed well, with Eurozone and Japanese equities being the top performing regions over the quarter.
What about bond markets? And is inflation an issue here?
For the same reasons that equity markets have performed so well over the last year, the bond markets have started to become concerned about higher inflation and higher interest rates. For example, UK bond investors experienced their worst quarter in two decades during the first quarter of this year. As regards how we see inflation impacting markets going forward, I refer to the views of one of our investment partners, Russell Investments. Despite agreeing that economies are poised to rebound sharply as restrictions are gradually lifted, they disagree that inflation pressures and interest rates are likely to increase significantly over the next 12 months. They believe it will take until at least the middle of 2022 for the US economy to recover the lost output from the coronavirus-induced lockdowns, and even longer in other economies. Amid this backdrop, they believe that broad-based inflation pressures are unlikely to emerge until 2023, with late 2023 and early 2024 a more likely timing for the first US Federal Reserve rate hike. So in summary, and to answer your question, we don't expect inflation to be an issue in the near term.
How did the UK and EU economies fare in the first 3 months of the year, the first quarter after Brexit?
As far as the UK economy is concerned, the initial fears around a severe disruption with its largest trading partner appear not to have materialised. Whilst the transition has not been completely smooth, there has also been no shortages of products or empty supermarket shelves. There have been some local issues, particularly for smaller businesses, with increased red tape catching out some companies. Larger multinationals have largely adjusted well to the new normal. Shipping and air freight increased, helping to relieve some of the pressure around the more complicated supply logistics of the UK-EU road border. Overall, the impact has been less than expected, but we have still seen a sharp fall in imported and exported goods. Following a record fall in exports to the EU in January, exports remain about 11% below levels a year earlier, and imports remain around 13% below levels a year earlier. As far as overall economic growth is concerned, it remains around 7.8% below the level seen a year earlier. As far as the EU is concerned, its relatively slow vaccine rollout and relatively smaller fiscal stimulus means it continues to lag the United States in terms of its economic performance. As of mid-March, less than 10% of the population in France, Germany, Italy, and Spain had received at least one dose of the vaccine. This compares with nearly 25% in the US and 40% in the UK. However, after a slow start, the vaccine rollout is gaining pace, and Europe should be on track for economic reopening by quarter three this year. Recent manufacturing data from March is already suggesting that economic recovery is gaining momentum. The March reading of 62.5 for the Purchasing Managers Index means that the Eurozone manufacturing sector grew at its fastest pace in nearly 24 years.
Do you think the major economies will continue to improve as we move into the second half of the year?
In general, our investment partners believe that economies should rebound sharply as restrictions are gradually lifted. The vaccination rollout, as well as prior COVID-19 infections, mean that 60 to 70% of the population in most developed economies should have some immunity by early in the third quarter of this year. This, plus the large US fiscal stimulus, has shifted investors from worrying about growth being too slow to now fearing that growth will be too fast and put more upward pressure on interest rates. The $1.8 trillion American Rescue Plan of 2021 is set to supercharge the US recovery as COVID-19 restrictions are lifted. This is equal to around 8.4% of US gross domestic product and comes on top of the $900 billion stimulus passed in late December 2020. The US is leading the charge in terms of fiscal support and as a result is likely to be the fastest growing economy in 2021. Although the rest of the world can't match the US fiscal firepower, other countries will benefit from the spillover effects of the US stimulus. According to the OECD, the US stimulus is likely to boost growth in Japan, Europe, and China by 0.5 percentage points over the next 12 months and lift global GDP by just over 1 percentage point. As regards GDP forecasts, for the US, GDP growth of 7% looks possible for 2021. In Europe, the post-lockdown recovery is expected to be extremely strong, and GDP is expected to bounce back by around 5% this year. And in the UK, the fast vaccine rollout should help the UK achieve a large rebound, with GDP expected to be as high as 7% in 2021.
And will this be reflected by investment performance?
As mentioned previously, equity markets have risen significantly. But despite relatively expensive global equity market valuations, the backdrop of a strong economic recovery should continue to favour equities over bonds for the remainder of the year. However, with differing relative equity market valuations across regions and sectors, certain regions and sectors will likely outperform others. This being the case, it will also be important to have well-diversified portfolios to benefit from the varying returns across different sectors and regions.
Market volatility, especially sudden drops, can be hard for investors to handle. What lessons can be learned from the market falls last year and previous crashes?
I'm going to answer this question by way of an example. Imagine an investor who had invested $10,000 in the US S&P 500 at the beginning of 1970. For listeners who are not aware, the S&P 500 is a stock market index of the 500 largest US companies. That investor would have seen their portfolio grow to something in the region of $1.8 million by this month, assuming that dividends and capital gains distributions were reinvested. This is despite the fact that, firstly, the entry point in 1970 was during the course of a severe 36% 18-month decline in the index. And secondly, that this setback was followed by no fewer than 11 more bear markets, including the three largest declines since the Great Depression, at 48%, 49% and 57%. What this confirms is that investment failure is not caused by the equity market, which has done nothing but enrich the disciplined, patient, long-term equity investor. Rather, Investment failure is always and everywhere caused by one or more critical mistakes on behalf of the investor. In other words, unforced errors that they need never have been made. In our day-to-day contact with clients and potential clients, we regularly come across the impulse to flee falling markets and yet chase speculative fads. In just the last year, we've seen people panic following the onset of the pandemic. Had we allowed our clients to act on that panic and sell their equity holdings in March 2020, they would have missed the massive recovery that we've seen since. We've seen people follow what looks to be a speculative fad in relation to cryptocurrencies. Who knows where that might end up? We've also seen people strain against our advice to remain diversified across all equity sectors, when in every fibre of their human nature has urged them towards investing in mega-cap technology stocks. Again, we're now seeing what a poor decision that would have been. We're also regularly asked about investing in gold, despite its poor record as a long-term investment. As trusted advisors to our clients, the main responsibility of a Blevins Franks partner is simply to help clients avoid making these very human mistakes and ensure they benefit from the long-term returns associated with patient equity market investment. In answer to your original question, following this simple, disciplined approach will mean that investors need not worry about market volatility and/or sudden market drops.
How do you help your clients set up their portfolios to benefit from market rises while reducing exposure to volatility?
Blevins Franks follow a simple, disciplined process. The first step is to agree what your objectives are. The second step is to agree upon a plan to achieve those objectives. And the last piece of the puzzle is to decide upon a suitable, well-diversified portfolio to achieve your plan and ultimately your objectives. Having put the plan in place, it's then essential to have good quality investment managers to make investment decisions on a day-to-day basis, that the portfolio is rebalanced on a regular basis, and as previously mentioned, it is also essential to have a trusted advisor to ensure that you are patient and stick to the plan. If any listeners would like to learn more about our approach, they simply need to contact us.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Let's have some details of how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, listeners can visit our website, blevinsfranks.com. They will be able to get contact details of all of our local partners. They'll also be able to fill in a contact form. And if they do, we will be in touch as soon as possible.
Many thanks. It's always a pleasure. I think we'll talk again in a fortnight.
Much appreciated, Howard. Thank you very much.